Canto 8, chapter 24. This is a summary of the chapter. Matsya, the Lord's fish incarnation. This chapter describes the Supreme Personality of God as incarnation as a fish. And it also describes the saving of Maharaj Satyavrata from an inundation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expands Himself by Svamsha, His personal expansions, and Vibhinamsha, His expansions as the living entities. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.8, Paritranaya Sadunam Vinashaya Chadushkritam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears on this planet for the protection of the sadhus or devotees and for the destruction of the miscreants or non-devotees. He especially descends to give protection to the cows, the brahmanas, the demigods, the devotees, and the Vedic system of religion. Thus, he appears in various forms, sometimes as a fish, sometimes as a boar, sometimes Nrisingadev, sometimes Vamanadev, and so on. But in any form or incarnation, although he comes within the atmosphere of the material modes of nature, he is unaffected. This is a sign of his supreme controlling power. Although he comes within the material atmosphere, Maya cannot touch him. Therefore, no material qualities can be attributed to him in any degree. Once, at the end of the previous kalpa, a demon named Hayagriva wanted to take the Vedic knowledge away from Lord Brahma at the time of annihilation. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead took the incarnation of a fish at the beginning of the period of Svayambhuva Manu and saved the Vedas. During the reign of Chakshusha Manu, there was a king named Satyavrata who was a great pious ruler. To save him, the Lord appeared as the fish incarnation for a second time. King Satyavrata later became the son of the sun god and was known as Shraddhadev. He was established as Manu by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To receive the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, King Satyavrata engaged in the austerity of subsisting only by drinking water. Once, while performing this austerity on the bank of the Kritamala River and offering oblations of water with the palm of his hand, he found a small fish. The fish appealed to the king for protection, asking the king to keep him in a safe place. Although the king did not know that a small fish was the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, as a king he gave shelter to the fish and kept him in a water jug. The fish, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, wanted to show his potency to King Satyavrata, and thus he immediately expanded his body in such a way that he could no longer be kept in the jug of water. The king then put the fish in a big well, but the well was also too small. Then the king put the fish in a lake, but the lake was also unsuitable. Finally, the king put the fish in the sea, but even the sea could not accommodate him. Thus the king understood that the fish was no one else but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he requested the Lord to describe his incarnation as a fish. The personality of God had been pleased with the king, informed him that within a week there would be an inundation throughout the universe and that the fish incarnation would protect the king. Along with the rishis, herbs, seeds and other living entities in a boat, which would be attached in the fish's horn. After saying this, the Lord disappeared. King Satyavrata offered respectful obeisances to the Supreme Lord and continued to meditate upon him. In due course of time, annihilation took place and the king saw a boat coming near. After getting aboard with learned brahmanas and saintly persons, he offered prayers to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, and thus he taught Maharaj Satyavrata and the saintly persons about Vedic knowledge from the core of the heart. King Satyavrata took his next birth as Vaivasvata Manu, who is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Vivasvan Manave Praha, the sun god spoke the science of Bhagavad Gita to his son Manu. Because of being the son of Vivasvan, this Manu is known as Vaivasvata Manu. So text 1, Sri Rajavacha. Oh, because this was too long, I will just read myself. Bhagavan Trotrum Ichami Harer Adbhuta Karmanaha Avatara Katam Adyam Maya Matsya Vidambanam. Translation. Maharaj Parikshit said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is eternally situated in His transcendental position, yet He descends to this material world and manifests Himself in various incarnations. His first incarnation was that of a great fish. O most powerful Shukadeva Goswami, I wish to hear from you the pastimes of that fish incarnation. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is all-powerful, yet He accepted the form of an uncommon fish. This is one of the 10 original incarnations of the Lord. So you know the song Dashavatara Stotra, which explains about 10 incarnations of the Lord. And the first one is Matsya Avatar, or fish incarnation, Keshava Drita, Mina Sharira, Jaya Jagadisha Hare. So Mina Sharira, Sharira means body, and Mina means fish. So in the form of a fish, Lord appeared. So God doesn't incarnate only among human beings, but also sometimes among animals. And He always has a certain purpose why He appears. And this is described in this introduction. It is described by the verse of the Bhagavad Gita that Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharmastam stapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Millennium after millennium, the Lord appears in various forms in order to protect the devotees and to destroy the miscreants or to destroy the demoniac personalities. So one fact about the universe where we are living and any other universe is that God doesn't forsake or He doesn't neglect the material universes. Because material universe is created for persons who want to forget God and who want to enjoy independent of Him. And that's us. This is the purpose of the material universe. But he enters into the heart of every living entity as the super soul, and also into every atom, andantarastha paramanu chayantarastham. He follows every living entity, so every living entity is important to him. He follows as a super soul and guides and helps this living entity to enjoy the material world. Because every living entity in the material world wants to enjoy the material world separately from God. But he is not envious that we want to enjoy material activities. Ja mogu da dobijem jednu čašu vode, malo su mi se sušila usta, ako može, maha voda. What is this? Is it works or some preparing food? But I cannot give class with this drilling. But then we can listen to the drilling for some time and then continue with the class. I mean, I can try to speak with drilling, but it's difficult. So what is this universe? This universe is, for us, a space to try to enjoy separately from Krishna, and then when we get sane, when we get intelligent, when we get tired of trying to enjoy, then to actually understand that this universe is meant for training us again to become servants of Krishna. To go back to our original position of eternal servants of Krishna. So this universe is a training ground. You know, if you want to train to go to the disco club and things like this, you can train this. But if you want to train how to dance in kirtan for the pleasure of the Lord, you can do that too. And then what happens if we attain perfection in this life? This is described in Krishna book or in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We go to the universe where Krishna has his pastimes in the material world. So replica of Vrindavan is there. And we have this final training. So this life is training, and then we have final training, you know, like last training. When after that we can go back to the spiritual world. So this is training which is one before last. But now the question is, have we started training at all? We know about training. Prabhupada speaks about training. Krishna's representative speaks about it. But did we really start serious training? Like if you want to be a champion in sports, you can train, you know, you can be late for the training, you can leave earlier, you can be sloppy during training, irresponsible, not train seriously, and then you cannot expect to be a champion. Thank you. You cannot expect to be a champion if you train like this. See how the most successful champions train. They train like asses. Ask Michael Jordan, ask Novak Djokovic, Rafael Nadal. They train like asses. They always train more than any of these other guys who are, you know, sometimes fighting with the empire, sometimes playing some show. And they don't have the same results. So it is said also, for the martial arts teacher, that he always trains more than any of his disciples. And if we look at our gurus, I don't know, like, for example, Satchinandana Swami is teaching about japa, he always chants more than any of us.
So the success is not an accident. One has to practice. One has to practice. So this is, we have come here to practice. Like you come to the temple and you practice bhakti yoga, then your mind goes somewhere else and you see, outside is so enjoyable. What I am doing here in the temple? And devotees are anyway not perfect, and you know, I see so many, because I'm intelligent, I see so many faults in others. Well, I would say if you really be intelligent, you will see faults in yourself first. So it's more difficult to see faults in ourselves than in others. And many people think they are intelligent because they see faults in others. But God has different philosophy. This is the philosophy of conditioned souls, to criticize others. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, look at yourself, you know, correct yourself. Of course, we have to, if people are doing criminal activities or something wrong, we have to do something, try to do something about it, but at the same time, we have to ask, what am I doing? Am I perfect? And what am I doing wrong? And when we take feedback from people about how they see us, and when we explain how we see ourselves, there is a big difference. I'm not so bad, you know, not so bad. So they say, you are not so bad, but there is a list. I just said, one of my friends, that I'm going to be your coach if you make a list of 108 things you need to change. So, you know, you can just be shocked by this kind of request. So all incarnations, all prophets, all saintly personalities, Srila Prabhupada came to tell us, you, my dear boy or girl, you need training. You are untrained. I remember when I was serving my guru personally, then he would say something, I would do something wrong with serving him personally, and he said, oh, he's untrained. I was for 1 year or 2 years in Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada trained his disciples, and then they train us. So training is such a beautiful word, and it's connected with Krishna's incarnations, because incarnations also come to train us and to show us who is God and what we are supposed to do. So there is this question, you know, you come to me and say, Akrura, you know, this is wrong and that is wrong. And I say, what about you? Oh, you know, well, I'm trying my best. I'm trying my best. I know, you're very sincere, but, one of my coaches, he charges 20, if you say to him, but, or no, or however, you have to pay $20 to the charity. Plus pay him the fee for the coaching, that's extra. So I started charging if you say to me as a coach, but, or however, or no, you have to buy me a pizza in Hollywood, or something like that, or a burek. So we always argue. In our mind, we argue, and we always justify our own faults, and we supremely judge other people's faults. So we are like God. So I say one weird thing. I lost only one client in my life, somebody who got really upset with me, one senior Mataji from one European country, let's stay confidential. She got really upset when I wrote that saying I forgive you is arrogant. And she said, how can you say that? And, you know, Yes, because who are you to forgive? You shouldn't be angry at the first place. You shouldn't hold the grudge at the first place, because whatever needed to happen to you, it happened to you by the supreme will of God. And God will forgive or not that person. And you don't even have to think about forgiveness. But okay, you should forgive. This is also in the Shastra. But at the same time, on a higher level, actually God is the one who can forgive or not, or who can punish or not. We cannot do this. I don't forgive him. So what is the result of not forgiving? Poison is in your heart, non-stop. And you are harming yourself. And they don't care that you don't forgive them. So, but when Lord appears as an incarnation, he actually shows his powers. And here, Matsya Avatar showed the power of enlarging himself. First he was small, then bigger. And he appeared because of King Satyavrata. Sometimes God appears because of one person, but also others benefit. Like Krishna appeared at the battlefield of Kurukshetra because of Arjuna, but then so many people benefited, and we are benefiting by the Slovenian translation or English translation of Bhagavad Gita. So when Krishna does one thing, it has multiple benefit. It benefits many living entities. And there are so many living entities in this world, and they are all trying to enjoy the resources of material nature and to control and to fight for supremacy. I am better than you. So now, to become a devotee of the Lord or to become a saintly person, you do everything opposite. All the values of materialists are just upside down in the spiritual life. In the material world, everybody wants to be first, and in the spiritual world, devotees say, you go first. You go first. There is one book, Become a Go-Giver. So everybody goes out to get something. So he is a go-getter. But if you want to be a devotee, you become a go-giver. You go and give something. And people are afraid to give. Because they think, the more I give, the less I will have. But actually, there is a saying, the more you give, the more you get. And we can add to this so that you can give even more. And then one devotee said, so that I can get even more. But yes, you can get even more so that you can give even more. So this is part of our dharma, service and giving, and this is where we can find happiness. But we still think, I will be happy when I can get something. And this is why it's so difficult to love unconditionally anyone. So yesterday I had an interesting conversation with one devotee who is long time in Krishna consciousness. He lives outside, works in a famous company. He's one of the top managers in the big company in Slovenia. And I will not tell you his name. So I said, If I try to love someone unconditionally, I think I have to first love God unconditionally to be able to love unconditionally other conditioned souls. He said, well, maybe it's other way around, that if you practice loving conditioned souls unconditionally, then maybe you will be able to love the Lord unconditionally. So if you want to read about unconditional love of Krishna's devotees, especially Srimati Radharani, then chapter 4 of the Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Confidential Reasons for the Appearance of Lord Chaitanya, that's the name of the chapter, and 20th chapter of Antya Lila, which describes, it's called the Shikshashtakam prayers, and when the eighth verse is described, then we can see how Lord Chaitanya speaks in the mood of Srimati Radharani, and she has this unconditional love in the highest level of unconditional love for Krishna. So unconditional love, like love in the material world, is a business. You give me something, I give you something, and you know, we have a relationship of love or friendship, but it's more like business. But unconditional love is that you don't expect anything in return. You just want to make your beloved person happy in one way or the other. That's very hard. You can try it. Because we are very selfish by nature. This is our conditioning. So when we try this, we fail. But we shouldn't stop trying to love unconditionally, because ultimately the eighth verse of Shikshashtaka is our goal. My dear Lord, I love you anyway, whatever you do. So this is, I would say, end of training, or the highest point of training, when we develop unconditional love for the Lord and all living entities. And without the love in our heart, we cannot be happy. And yesterday one devotee said a beautiful thing. He said, how can you surrender to God if you're not convinced that He loves you? Mm-hmm. How can you surrender? So we are trying to surrender, Sharanagati, we bow down, we work, we renounce sense gratification. But if we are not convinced that the person we are trying to surrender loves us, we don't have a motive. You know, how can we surrender? So, are you convinced that Krishna loves you? And how much you are convinced on a scale of 1 to 10? Okay, think for yourself if you don't want to say publicly. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think that Krishna loves you? And what is the proof? So, I ask Mahatma Prabhu, who is supposed to come here in August, I asked him, what is the proof that Krishna loves us? And he said, he sent us Srila Prabhupada. This is the most beautiful proof. Then, I mean, there is so many other things we can say, like, you tell me, what is the proof that Krishna loves us? You can give me a couple of examples.
He gave me work for him. He gave me this temple work instead of the material work that I was...
Service,
That I was just struggling with.
Shipancha Tattva Kijaya. So you are grateful for the service that Krishna gave you?
Yes, that I can work for him and not for others.
Okay. Okay, anything else?
Thank you.
He gave us association of devotees who sometimes irritate us. So why is this good? that association of devotees challenges us, like challenges our anarthas.
Knowledge.
He gave us knowledge. He gave us air to breathe. No corona. Oh, this is hot. It's not hot, it's just nice. What is for you the greatest proof that Krishna loves you personally? It's a very personal question. How you became convinced that He loves you? Association of devotees?
Yes. Keeps us alive, and he gives us so many things to try to go back and...
Keeps us alive, okay, give us so many things to...
He gives me my free will, so I can go there and go. Yeah.
He gave us free will. Oh, that's a symptom of love. So next time you fall in love, give free will to your beloved. she will say, don't control me. Say, but I have to protect you. Okay, protect me, but don't control me too much. Also, like fish. Oh, wow. Especially in Ljubljana temple. How many of you consider yourself to be prasadam bhakta? It's not true, there is more. But you are shy to raise your hand. So, I must say that I feel that we are very lucky that Krishna is sending incarnations in different forms. Krishna is sending devotees, Krishna is sending books, Krishna appears as deity and gives us so much service and maintains us. And so one feeling, I would say the predominant feeling in our heart should be what? Gratitude, yes, gratitude. And how many hours in a day we are grateful? How many hours in a day you feel really grateful? I'm so grateful for this building, for the deities, for the devotees, for the problems that I get and struggles. So being grateful for pleasant things, most people can do. Some are not grateful even for that. But being grateful for bad stuff, that's a sign of good training. That's a sign of a trained person. He sees opportunity in every problem. Oh, I have this pain. Oh, I have this problem. And the question is, the smart question is, what are the opportunities in there? What are the opportunities in there? So if you can think like this, then you can become like a magician or an alchemist to turn iron into gold. So turn, if you see a problem as an opportunity, you are turning iron into gold. This is wisdom. Huh?
You're just saying that gold is gold, not turning iron into gold.
No, I don't understand.
Because what Krishna uses is gold, not iron.
This problem?
Yeah.
You think that the problem, but it tastes like iron, or it tastes like there is a sand in every sweet rice. You may say, my wife is beautiful, but she is a good devotee in many ways, but. So there is always some but there. So why? I ask Prabhu, why women are sometimes very rude to you? Either criticize you or insult you. So the reason is that you don't become too much attached. One Prabhu, I told this last Sunday. This Sunday we will speak about the battlefield of life. So I spoke about one devotee from South America. I asked him, does your wife insult you sometimes? He said, yes. And I said, so what do you do? He said, I wait until she finishes and then I tell her, this is not okay. And I said, really? You can do that? He said, yeah. I said, Prabhu, please put your feet on my head. You are amazing. Who can do that? Who can wait until his wife finishes insulting him and then say calmly, it's all okay? This is so cute. But that means he loves her, and he can, you know, when you love someone, you can be patient almost unlimitedly. I mean, you shouldn't be, sometimes you have to scream, don't fall into the ditch. But generally, when you love someone, patience is love in action. Patience is love in action. So in all religions, we have principles of saintliness or saint, how to be a saintly person. And I was just riding a bike from Rudnik, and I was thinking, always we have to be patient and tolerant, patient and tolerant, patient and tolerant. Like when you go on book distribution, you have to be patient and tolerant and don't give up. So we are practicing in training how to be patient and tolerant and to accept the will of the Lord as supreme will and continue serving despite all the difficulties and all the unpleasant experiences we have and understand that this is for our purification. So when the Lord's incarnations come, they may give trouble to the demons, but also devotees experience a lot of trouble from the demons, and it's not an accident. Everything is for our purification. So everything that happens to us is meant to bring us back to Him. So we never want to complain. Why is this happening to me? Why me? I don't deserve it. So devotee never complains about his destiny. But he learns a lesson and in this way makes advancement. So thank you very much for listening. We can take one question. We'll finish. No question? Yes? You can write them down and send them to me, and I will answer every question. My Facebook is Gita Seva. Okay, so please. Oh, translation. Aha, microphone.
So a lot of devotees here said that a proof of Krishna's love is that He gives us service and association and so on. What does it mean when He takes those away from us?
This is also proof, because He takes away something that is not favorable for your spiritual advancement. So, for example, if you love someone and they die, this is also for your spiritual advancement. It's very painful. You may think God is cruel. So whatever surrender means, you accept and you renounce both things. Anukulasya sankalpa pratikulasya varjanam, accepting everything that is favorable and rejecting everything that is unfavorable. And sometimes things may look unfavorable, but actually later you understand, oh, there was a higher plan, and there was a higher benefit, which God had in mind, higher benefit for me. I thought God is punishing me, I thought God is cruel, but actually He was so merciful to me that He took away something. But at the moment, we cannot always recognize the mercy of the Lord when we lose something. But there is mercy of the Lord when we lose something. So we should be ready for anything and understand. There must be, I will understand, maybe I don't understand now, but I will understand later, what was God's higher purpose to benefit me by doing this, taking away something or giving me something, like, for example, responsibility or something like that. So does this make sense to you?
Yes, it doesn't make sense. Thank you. I want to ask practically, what can we do at that moment not to be so disappointed that we give up and we don't continue?
Remember what I told you. that it's for your benefit. And try to understand why and how. And you can talk to someone, maybe they already understand why is it for your benefit. Like Srila Prabhupada wanted to marry one girl who he liked more. And his father said, no, you should marry Radharani. That's his wife. His wife's name. His whole life wife name. And Prabhupada later understood that this was for his benefit. And also, his wife was not so much into preaching. So, when he said, tea or me, she said tea, and he took sannyas and acquired so many children in the West. Left his family. But he was already 58 at that time, so he paid his price as a grihastha. So he didn't neglect his family, but he was already 58 years old. So you may want a beautiful young man for a husband, but if he is so perfect, you will become so attached to him that you will have to be born again as a man. You will think of him in the moment of death. But if he respects your husband as a good devotee, but you're not focused on Krishna. Or sometimes also ladies get too attached to a guru and husband feels neglected. This is also not good. two of you focus on Krishna always. Then you both go back to Godhead. So that's the goal. The goal is not to have a perfect spiritual romance. Our main problem, I think once somebody asked me, what are you most ashamed of and what are you most afraid of? So do you want to hear? Okay, so I'm most ashamed of one or two times when I started loving someone unconditionally and then switched to conditional. That really makes me completely miserable if I do that. Start loving unconditionally and then switch to conditional. That's so bad. I hate it. And then what I'm most afraid of, I'm most afraid of my desire to have my own romance and not help Krishna's romance. Not serve Krishna's romance with Radharani and with gopis. To have my own movie, Hollywood. Better, Hollywood is better than Hollywood, because Hollywood is Vrindavan. Hollywood is Vrindavan. So we should turn Slovenia into Hollywood, and not Hollywood. So it's so hard. We are so sentimental, you know. I don't know which movie is most romantic for you, but this is our dream. You know, our dream is to have a perfect partner. And how can you find perfect partner amongst imperfect conditioned souls? That's not possible. But we are still dreaming. Even while we're hearing so many heavy lectures from heavy preachers, we are still dreaming. And what is the dream of the conditioned souls? For the girls, prince on a white horse. And for the boys, good fairy. That's a woman. Perfect woman. The dream is the same. And God says, I know your dream, and it's an illusion, and it's impossible, but we are still hoping. We are still hoping. Maybe one day God will be merciful to me and send me perfect partner. At least give me one more life to enjoy a little romance, then I will go back to you. And Krishna said, you were telling me this for many lifetimes, you know. You cheated me. I was expecting you will focus on me. You see how Krishna's smiling here? And you always want somebody else. So I had experience My life is very funny. That the person I fell in love is asking me to help her to find somebody else. And I said, okay, if you're crazy, I am also crazy. And let me help you. Because if you're happy with somebody else, what can I mean, Jai. So, but why I'm saying this, not because, I feel sorry for myself, but because we do this to Krishna. Krishna, please. Oh, he wants us to love him. And we say, Krishna, please give me someone else, at least for one lifetime. And he says, oh, Jesus Christ. How many times? So, lately, last half a year, I was thinking, who knows how many lifetimes I'm trying to approach Krishna, and I'll always get stuck at one point. And in this lifetime, go at least a little bit further than last life, Just give up this romantic idea. And people come and say, my relation doesn't work. Of course, that's why we are here, that our relationships don't work. Not that they work. So what did you expect? Akura, I'm suffering. Well, welcome to the show. Me too. I'm in pain. Kako se kaže na engleskom nesretno zaljubljen? Unfortunately in love, something like that. No, unlucky in love. Unlucky in love, yeah. So, who is lucky in love? Show me this lucky person. Everybody is unlucky in love because, I love her, she loves him, he loves another one. And it's just a circus. It's a zoo. I was just passing to the sign which says zoo, Slovenian, Ljubljana zoo. It's a zoo. We're in the zoo. We are the main players in the zoo. So think about these things and good luck. Hare Krishna.